locked the door, bitch. I'm on my way. And I got kicked in the grass.
I don't know why they call them chasers. It's not like Cubs can run real fast.
Double vodka with hot brownie chasers.
He just wanted to watch me eat it. Naked. I can't say that. That's dirty. Chasers will do anything to get into your pants. I love them.
Stop it!
Oh,
God. Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Chubbs Gone Wild, episode 595, recorded on Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. It is a beautiful day outside. It's 92 degrees in Chubland, and sunny as all get out, but the light looks weird. I don't know what it is. The last few days, the light just looks weird. Anyway, hello. It's 136 days till Halloween. We're getting right up there. And you know what? The summer solstice is in 3 days. That means that it's time to start decorating for Halloween. It's also 191 days till Christmas. 2 days until Juneteenth. And only 17 days until Independence Day. Wouldn't that be nice? Get to relive it again. Wonder if we'll have two. No, anyway, stop that. Stop it. Don't bring that up. All right, today's affirmation.
I am a decisive and productive person. I follow through with tasks that I start, and I make no excuses. Okay, well, it's an affirmation for a reason. We have to say it a lot before it comes true, apparently. Anyway. Hey, let's talk about Patreon really quick. Patreon offers folks a way to support creators and receive rewards not open to the general public, like My Life in Fragments podcasts, which you're getting a lot of those right now. Also, books, videos, and more. And we want to thank our current patrons, Clint, Nephi, Nick, DJ Sausage from Zion of Oz, Scott, Eric, Sean, Charles, Phoenix Dave, Brother Sinatus, Kingsley, Kathy Bacon, and Moose P. Please visit patreon.com/MattBurlingame to find out how you can be a patron of the show and support the work that we do for just as little as $1 a month. Is that too much to ask? It's less than a cup of coffee. All right. Well, let's talk history. June 17th, 1885. The dismantled Statue of Liberty, a gift of friendship from the people of France to the people of America, arrives in New York Harbor after being shipped across the Atlantic Ocean in 350 individual pieces, packed in more than 200 cases, and so many puzzled people just went crazy, saying, I want to do it. Anyway, the copper and iron statue was actually reassembled and dedicated the following year in a ceremony presided over by the U.S. President Grover Cleveland, who they named the city after, became known around the world as an enduring symbol of freedom and democracy.
You realize people are going to think we're AI now because you can't pronounce Cleveland.
Cleveland. Oh, it's so funny listening to some of the things AI tries to pronounce, and it's just like so wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my point.
Yeah. Like WTF, it's just like, what if? Anyway. All right, moving on. Let's talk about holidays, and we'll do it as real people, shall we? Today is Global Garbage Man Day. Talking about the present. Anyway, actually, you know what? I'm going to just take a moment, a little PSA here. For anybody that looks down on garbage people, and I'm talking about the people that actually go around and pick up our garbage in the big trucks and stuff, if you look down on these people, you might reconsider the that maybe you're kind of douchey, because I'm sorry, but those guys, we need them. We love them. Thank you for doing your, thank you for your service, because, yeah, I'm just saying, not to mention they make good bank and I would be very happy to marry one as long as he didn't bring his work home, if you know what I mean.
You sound just like the haters.
You know what? I'm just saying that I would absolutely be happy to marry a beautiful garbage man, well, or, you know, an average garbage man. But, I lived with my father who was a hoarder, and there's just that tendency for some people to bring, you know, like, oh, look, I found this beautiful portrait from the 1970s of Oz. You know, it's just like, no, don't do that. Anyway, it's also National Apple Strudel Day. When's the last time you had an apple strudel?
Probably last year.
I don't even remember myself. Cherry Tart Day. Are you a cherry tart?
I don't like cherries. Oh. Cook cherries.
Oh. Well, okay. My father was actually allergic to cherries, so we often didn't have cherries.
I like cherries. I don't like cooked cherries.
Yeah, I get it. I do like, well, I like cherries and cooked cherries, but I don't often go out of my way for them.
Well, that's because they're fresh cherries are only available about 6 weeks a year.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pay for, you know, you can get them longer than that, but they come farther away and they're unattainable as far as cost.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I do like cherries. Yeah, I found my love of them again. I'm gonna go eat some. It's also National Eat Your Vegetables Day. How often do you eat your vegetables?
Every day.
Every day, huh?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I eat vegetables every day. I like vegetables.
Yeah, especially if they're handsome, right?
Oh, yes, queen. But you know what? When I was a kid, I was one of the few kids that liked spinach. I would eat my spinach, and my liver was fine with me. But yeah,
I don't like the mealiness of liver unless it's like a pate and it's been you know, really smoothed out. But everybody likes spinach. It's a Popeye food.
I know. I love spinach. And I like baby spinach, especially in a salad or just throwing it in when I'm cooking something else. Put a little veggie in there. But I don't know where I was going with that. Yeah, I vegetables are good. Hey, it's also Stuart's Root Beer Day. I don't know why we're celebrating his root beer. I love root beer, but sadly it does not love me. And we'll leave it at that. Also World Croc Day. Now, I'm assuming these are probably the shoes.
I don't know. Do you wear You're the Crocs? One with the list.
Well, yeah.
If it is, I'm celebrating it now.
Yay! We finally got one. That's awesome. My mom loves her Crocs, but she's trying to find new ones, and she can't find ones that fit well. But yeah, Crocs are okay.
Take her to the Croc store.
And Clint, is there a Croc store near here?
Yeah, I know there's one in Elk Grove. I'm sure there's other ones closer.
I should do that because we try to get them online, and every time she gets it, it's either like just too big or just too small. So it's like, we need a half size for you. All right, it's also World Day of Combat Desertification and Drought. Desertification and drought. Oh, okay. Let's take that again. World Day to Combat Desertification and Drought, not of Combat Desertification. So the two different things. prepositions count. Anyway, those are the lovely holidays that we celebrated on this day. And there's also, you know, weekly ones like, you know, take your pet to work, National Forgiveness Day. I don't know. Okra month, papaya month, rivers, roses, safety, soul food. I like that one. Turkey
lover. Take your pet to take your pet to work.
Yeah, take your pet to work week.
Yeah, that's not good.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't do that.
I mean, if they've got carpets, yeah. You know, if they've got carpets, they're going to pee on the floor. Well, they're going to poop in the office. It's not good.
Yeah. Oh, it's also National Candy Month. I'm down with that. All right. Let's see. So now it's time for birthdays. And you know what was really interesting is I went to Facebook this morning to do my happy birthday clicks for people, you know, as we do. And I looked at the names and I just clicked on them and I found that out of the four people of birthdays that I had today, three were scammers that had not checked their Facebooks in years. Anyway, tragic. Tragic, I tell you. All right. Happy birthday to Melissa Nikhail. Okay. We'll go with that. Star Hargrove, my mommy, TJ Zombie Girl.
But your mom's was yesterday.
I know, but we didn't record yesterday and we didn't say anything about Monday birthdays because we record on Mondays. So I just want to throw it in there that my mama had a birthday and she turned 74. We also have TJ Zombie Girl and Ed, formerly of the All About Me podcast. And the one thing I want to remind Ed is that even though we were born the same year, you will always be older than me. Just saying. All right. Also, happy birthday to upcoming birthdays. Gail, Joe, Christopher. Yeah, that's how you say that. Brian, June, James, Gary, Mateo. Oh, that Gary Bearden. We met him. He was one of our Pride 48ers. Also, West, popular movie actor West Ramsey. We also have Dan, James, Mike, Jim. Don't give me that look. Toby. Playwright Mike McAfee. We did his play, The Coming Out Party. And a little friend of yours who used to take photos, Sandra. That was before she became...
Don't forget, today is also Barry Manilow's 82nd birthday.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. I heard that he wrote the songs.
No, he doesn't. No?
No, that was Paul Williams?
No, that was Bruce Johnson from the Beach Boys.
He wrote the songs that made the whole world cry?
Yeah.
But I thought, didn't Barry... Okay, so Barry just sang a version of it.
Yes.
Okay. I thought he wrote it. Because he's a prolific songwriter.
Well, actually, most of his hits he didn't write.
Wow. Huh.
He didn't write Mandy. He didn't write Trying to Get the Feeling Again. He didn't write I Write the Songs.
Huh. That's okay.
Well, but he did write Even Now, and he wrote Could It Be Magic?
Oh, what about Copacabana?
He wrote that.
Yeah, okay. Well, at least he wrote one of the big songs that I like. Okay, and he's still coming here, right?
Yeah.
I was just checking.
No, he's doing his final West Coast tour this year. He did the East Coast last year.
Well, maybe we'll have to see him when he takes a residency in Vegas or something.
He's already in residency in Vegas. And has been for years now.
Yeah.
He actually just beat out Elvis at the, the Westminster, the place he's taking residence. He's the top. He beat out Elvis as far as doing it. And this last year, he beat out, well, everybody performing at Radio City Music Hall. He's performed like,
wow,
I think over 30 times. And he's got, he did 16 days last year, and he's doing some more this year. It's just like, good for him.
Yeah.
I wish I felt that good.
I know. I mean, I would love to see him, but I don't want to do it locally with all that. Well, not to mention, I just can't afford to see at those ticket prices. It's just beyond me.
But, well, and it's just the way I want to see him is not in the high risers, crappy seats.
Yes, you want to see him like you saw Jerry Herman, and when Barry Manilow asks you to get up there and sing, you will.
Yeah.
Will. Anyway, oh, don't forget, we have to send out another little birthday shout out to our dear, dear, dear friend, Nephi. Happy birthday, Nephi.
No, I refuse.
Well, too bad. Yeah. Okay, it's time for, well, there's nothing in our feed bag, so it's time for Chub Hugs. And I would like to send some Chub Hugs out to all those who spend their time, not all their time, but at least some of their time helping others. It is a really amazing thing to be able to help somebody and actually do it. So there. Also, I want to send a huge Chub Hug out to Mr. Scott. I need to send you some photos of my mommy's chair, and also to Mr. Nephi, and all the others out there, some Facebookers and some of our listeners who sent wishes for my mom for a happy birthday, and it made her feel very good that she was thought of. So thank you for that. What you got for Chub Hugs?
Well, I've got two. First of all, Chub Hugs out to all of those people who on Saturday went out and marched against the king.
Amen. Amen.
Because you think about it, I don't know how many it was that they're saying it could be
millions.
Well, tens of millions. So, mm-hmm. And those are the people that actually went out.
Yeah.
Because you know that people like you and I aren't marching, not right. Because we don't want to, but just because. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all the people that went out and actually made signs and carried them around and dealt with, I'm sure, assholes that would drive by, thank you. And then also I want to send a Chub Hug out to the sad little birthday boy who had a terrible Saturday when he had to watch tanks drive around and they weren't lockstepping like he wanted them to. And, and he found out that the king might not have new clothes, but he also doesn't have the following of the country that he thinks he does.
Yeah.
And that's got to be hard. That's got to be hard on a sad little boy on his birthday.
Well, yeah, absolutely does. And you know how when the old joke is when somebody says something and nobody responds, it's like cricket sounds. Now it's going to be squeaky tank sounds.
Yeah, that was, well, and it's like, why didn't they have patriotic music playing during the whole time?
Yeah. You know,
they could have just pumped that in on speakers up and down every length of the parade route.
Yep.
Did you see how the soldiers are just walking?
Yes. There's
like they couldn't have cared less. I want to get this over with.
Yeah. There is theory among other service members that was a way to stop
protest
theory. That was a type of silent protest because. They were conscripted to be there. It wasn't one of those volunteer things.
Right.
They were made to be there. And they got paid $69 a day. Not $70, not $50, $69, which also apparently lines up with something that Musk did. I don't understand it. I don't care. It all sounds kablooey fluey to me, but
now, where did they put them up? Because there were an awful lot of people. Are they sleeping in kitchens on the floor like the people in Los Angeles were?
Yeah, like our California troops were treated to. I don't know, but I guess they did have like at least barracks or something. I don't know.
Where? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah. But he's mad at them. He's mad at the troops. He's mad at Hegseth because he didn't get his little Kim Jong Il moment. It was tragic. It was so tragic. It was sad. It made me sad just watching it. And the way that Marco Rubio is sitting there yawning and Melania is looking like she could, you know, barf at any moment.
No. Melania looked like she was taking such pleasure in how sad the parade was because she knew it was destroying him.
Yeah.
And you go back and look at the pictures and she's just kind of like, she's like the evil stepmother enjoying every bit of those peas that Cinderella's picking out of the fireplace.
Yeah, that was just insane. But yeah, the whole thing. And I just, you bring it on yourself, I guess is all I can say. All right, moving on from all of that, it's time for the news when a man suspected of assassinating a Democratic lawmaker in Minnesota and her husband has been found to have given anti-LGBTQ plus speeches to in the Democratic Republic of the Congo in 2023. So not only was he an assassin and a freak and an asshat, but he was also anti-LGBTQ. Hey, there's a surprise. All right. Also, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth found himself on the defensive Thursday as California dramatic Democratic U.S. Rep. Sarah Jacobs used the House Armed Services Committee hearing to expose what she demonstrated is a hypocrisy of the Trump administration's purge of transgender service members, many of whom are among the highest rated troops in the U.S. military. And video of the interaction has gone viral online, so you are free to look that up. Now, getting away from all of the current events, let's look into the past and have a little chat about nostalgia television as we remember the Little Rascals. What do you remember about them?
Well, first of all, it wasn't television.
The Little Rascals?
Yeah.
Okay, what were they?
They were short films.
I always saw them on TV reruns and stuff. So.
Well, yeah, that's because they were made in the 30s, in the 40s.
Well, let's talk about nostalgia TV that used to be movies.
Okay.
The Little Rascals. What do you remember about them? What do you like about them? What do you hate about them? What?
Well, of course, I liked that they hated girls.
Okay.
Because they were part of the Man Haters Club. I mean,
the Women
Haters Club. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there was that. They were also funny, and they had a pit bull.
Uh huh.
Early days of pit. Yeah. Pit bulls, you know, little, what was his name? He had the circle eye over his eye. It was Petey. Petey.
Asked. Oh, was it?
Yeah, Petey. Okay. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have remembered that.
Actually, my father was almost going to be a part of the Little Rascals.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my mother, my grandmother was in the movies, and they were looking for kids and to do this, and she didn't want. She wanted to be the famous one, not him. So she didn't let him do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
That sucks.
Bad turns all around for me. It never was going to work out.
It's like when I was going to audition for, Mickey Rooney was having a trial, like, you know, mass production call in Sacramento when I was like, 13, 14, who's looking for people my age. And I was going to go audition, but mom couldn't get off work. So I didn't get to do it. Very sad, Cease. All right. Well, Little Rascals for me, again, of course, watching them in reruns usually before, like, the they would run them. Well, I guess. Can't remember. I just know that I watched them a lot when I was a kid on TV, thought they were funny.
It was probably they did a lot of Three Stooges. They did a lot of Laurel and Hardy's. They did a lot of those old basically reels from the 20s. Well, mostly the 30s and the 40s, because they weren't doing sound back in the 20s. So we didn't get a lot of those, but we did a lot of the 30s and 40s because they were Little Rascals. And then they switched over to Our Gang.
Yeah.
And that was basically to get out of the contractual Hal Roach contracts and get into something different. So,
oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
And so did you, who did you like? Who's your favorite character?
Okay, so probably Buckwheat when I was a kid was my favorite character. But as I got older, probably Darla, because she was always the one that had to, like, kick their butt so that she could be in the gang or, you know, whatever it was. But, you know, I was always the main kid. What was his name? Spanky. The one that was always, you know, the one that had to do all the work and organize everything and was basically, you know, the one who got the shit end of the stick. And,
are you kidding? He was the hero and everything.
See, that's what I always thought too, but he did get the...
No, you're wrong. No, that was usually Alfalfa, or was his name Froggy? He got a lot of shit.
Oh wow, yeah, I forgot.
And about Froggy. And so did Buckwheat. But Spanky was the one who always was like the winner.
Huh.
And what about what was his name? Fatty, Chubby? What was his?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you blocked that one out of your mind.
Yeah, selective memory.
Yeah, because they had the big fat kid. He was pretty big for. Of course, he was probably 20 pounds overweight. And, you know, at that age, and that makes you huge.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was the character. Well, at least he was stronger, so he could deal with the bullies. Mm-hmm.
And did you like?
And he was bigger.
Did you like the movie remake of it?
No.
Oh yeah, I liked it. I watched it a couple times. My mom liked it.
I mean, it's not. I didn't hate it, but it's just. It's kind of like when they redid the Poseidon Adventure. Who cares?
Oh, see, I haven't even watched the remake. I don't have any interest in it.
That's not my point.
I know. But I'm saying I don't even want to watch it because...
Exactly. That's what the Little Rascals was.
Right. Right. Okay. Good talk. And now let's catch up on some sad, very sad deaths.
Well, it was quite a week. Beach Boys founder Brian Wilson... he died at 82. Remember, he's also Carney Wilson's father.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting because I was watching a lot of things on him, and something that I thought was interesting was that the Beach Boys actually created a new style of music. Surfer rock that wasn't around before they were, and if it was not. Public, they really brought it to the public. Go back and look at a greatest hits album of the Beach Boys. You're not going to believe how many. I didn't realize they were all their songs. I mean, because there were a lot of different groups that came out later. Mm-hmm. You know, in the 60s that did a lot of songs, but I just didn't remember that they had done that many songs were their hits. So
yeah, I had their greatest hits something, the Surfing in the USA. I had that album, and I, when I was a kid, and man, they're just hit after hit after hit.
Also, actor Chris Robinson, mostly known for being a member of the General Hospital acting staff. He died at 86 years old. Ananda Lewis. She was a host of MTV TRL and BLT's Teen Summit. She died at 52. Scarface actor Harrison Yule, dead at 87. Now, when you say Scarface actor, you might as well just, you go back and you look at the guy, and he was in probably hundreds of things.
Oh, yeah.
Just yeah. Everything. Also, speaking of losing another head of a major band from our past, Sly Stone from Sly and the Family Stone, he died at 82.
Wow.
Which was interesting, both him and Brian Wilson, 82, the same week. And let's see, finally, on the subject of the Our Gang comedies, Betsy Gay, she was 96. She played one of the Our Gang Little Rascal at characters. She also appeared in Marx Brothers movies and The Adventures of Tom Sawyer from 1938. You most likely have seen her in something.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, oh, this is new. Lilo and Stitch actor David H.K. Bell,
mm-hmm.
Died shortly after the film's release of the latest Lilo and Stitch movie.
Yeah,
very which sad. Was, of course, that opened up last week or the week before. So,
mm-hmm. Wow. Lots of big ones there. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that. And now, what did you do this week?
Well, update on what I watched. Top Chef had its finale, and Tristan, he won Top Chef for his Afro-Caribbean food.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new Cutthroat Kitchen on Max right now with Malarkey. He's a restaurateur from San Diego. Been to his restaurant. It was so funny because we went to the restaurant and you got your meal. You know, they had like pizzas and you know you could get steaks or pasta, but the sides were separate, and the sides looked, well, they sounded so good. So we ordered the four sides that were available. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be going to San Diego next month. So we're actually thinking if we do go back to the restaurant, just mm-hmm. ordering the sides again, because it was they were all so fantastic. And I love really good vegetable side dishes,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're going, wow, I would never have thought carrots could be this good, or, you know, that type of thing. It was really fantastic. But Cutthroat Kitchen is what they do is, he starts out giving four contestants $25,000 a piece, and then they can spend the money to sabotage the other players.
Oh,
so it's kind of fun, but it's also, I mean, it's fun, but it's cruel,
mm-hmm.
you know, so depending on if you don't like that kind of thing. Guy's Grocery Game just dropped on Max, a new season. So those of you that don't have the Food Channel and only have Max, more of the Guy's Grocery Games, which I always like. This week on Drag Race, the third bracket started. And the thing this week was you had to be a Wicked Witch or a Good Witch. And so they had to pair up in teams. And Ginger Minj and Diabetti, they ended up being the winners. They were really good, but the real winner was all the girls that were there, because the judges this week consisted of Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo. They came in, and it's so funny because they came in beforehand, mm-hmm. and the girls were like freaking out, as one would. And then they came in and they were in like a green, a light green and a light pink outfit. And then someone said, "Oh my God, you look like you should be selling ice cream." And so during the Untucked, they came in and served them ice cream.
Oh.
But they were so tiny, even they were shorter than Ginger Minge, and she's pretty short. So, and they were all both in heels. So I don't know what was going on there. But one of the people goes, "This is the gayest RuPaul's Drag Race episode ever." They were, because all the queens are crying over meeting, you know, the wicked girls, and Ariana Grande kept crying, and you know, it was a sweet episode, fun. Let's see. There's a new show on that we've been watching over on Netflix called Department Q. And it stars Matthew Good, and he plays a very angry cop who is reassigned to work the cold cases. And the one he's working on, I thought it was going to be he's going to be working on a new cold case each episode, but it's only been one cold case, and the one that he was also working on beforehand. So he's kind of going back and forth, but it's really good. Really good show. We're down to the last episode, and I can't wait to watch it tonight. That's over on Netflix. Also on Netflix, there's a show called Bad Thoughts, and it's Tom Segura, the stand-up comedian, and he's playing multiple characters. It's almost like the Carol show, if you ever saw that, where they're playing multiple characters, and there's like little skits, but they're not stand-up skits. They're filmed and little scenes, but most of them are pretty disgusting. He plays a hitman who is trying to kill this one guy, and he ends up killing the waitress that is serving him. And so as he's trying to get away, he accidentally shits his pants. So he's stuck in this like Middle Eastern country with pants. He shit himself. He's walking around with no pants on because covered in shit on the back of him. And he's trying to hide or try to get away. And he doesn't want to get in his car. And it's so gross that it's funny. You might not enjoy it, but we've been having fun with it. Watching two new shows called The Snake. This is on Fox or on Hulu, and the other's called Battle Camp, and they're both bringing in past reality stars to compete for money, basically. And they're both in a camp setting. This is what happens when you're in between seasons of television. You have to watch reality garbage, which I when I say garbage, I say that lovingly, because I do love these competition shows, especially when it's old reality stars that you've liked in the past. So that's fun. I did watch a YouTube video about poor Sarah Gilbert and how her life has been so hard, spending years and years and years on Roseanne and on the Conners and The View and making tons and tons of money, but she's been so unhappy in love, and it's just like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You stir your own shit. And if she's anything like her character, like Darlene, which I'm thinking she probably is, no wonder she's unhappy in love. I don't know.
I've never heard anything really bad about her before.
Well, not bad. It's just, she's the victim, the multi-million dollar victim. Yeah. Poor thing. Mm-hmm. When you got that kind of money, you can find ways of making yourself happy.
Amen to that.
I'm watching Stick over on Apple TV. This is Owen Wilson show about a golf pro. It only comes out one episode a week, so it's like, come on, let's make these work. And then I did see Joe Dombrowski. You're familiar with Joe? He's all over YouTube. Yeah. If he's a gay comedian, He's very funny. I'm really enjoying. I was hoping he was going to come somewhere near here, but he's got nothing scheduled on the West Coast. So, but I would like to see him live.
Yes.
Then I watched Snow White over on Disney. This is the new Snow White that they just Gil Gadol and Rachel.
Not interested, but yeah.
Well, it's a musical.
Oh.
And all the previews I saw, there were no music. And it's I don't understand why they are. Because remember when Wicked? All we heard was, you know, Defying Gravity and the, and that was it in the previews.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. We know they're musicals. Show us that it's a grand musical and maybe that'll help. All the dwarfs are animated. Well, or Pixar, or however you want to say it.
It just sounds like a hot mess. Now, I don't know. If you like it, maybe I'll give it a chance.
It was terrible, but it was beautiful. And and you got to see the Gil Gadol number that she does. Now, she's this bitch queen, right? Everyone hates her. But yet, when she has her big number, instead of it being like a power ballad, she's got backup dancers and singers. It's like, no, that does not work. Does not work.
Huh.
Just like those servicemen in the parade, they're not going to be in the background doing anything. They're not even going to be there. Are you kidding? But it was hilarious. Cause it's like, who pulled this number out of their ass? Let's see, next week, actually, I think it's this Friday, the Minecraft movie's coming to Max.
Blech.
I know, I just want to see what it is. I know Brian told me that it's all cubism, but I mean, how's that sustainable as a movie? So
I don't know. They kept closing the theaters down because people were going crazy during it.
Crazy?
Like, I guess there seems that stuff happens and they would like just... you'd have to look up the. I just know that they actually closed down viewings of it because people were throwing shit and doing weird stuff that
not
was part of the iconic tree of the movie. I don't know.
Okay,
I tuned out.
And then I think it was after the whole parade thing on Saturday. I wanted to find like a Zen kind of moment. Mm-hmm. So I watched this girl bathe for the first time golden retriever puppies.
Aww.
And it was so funny because she did them one at a time, of course. Yeah. And you could see their personalities. You know, it's like some really got into the water. Some were like, I got to get out of here. Some were just angry. It was really cute. None of them really liked the blow dryer. One finally did, was kind of into it. Model moment once they realized how good their hair looked with the flowing wind. But that was on YouTube.
Aww.
And then finally, Smash and Floyd Collins on Broadway closed this Sunday.
Yeah.
And then Real Women Have Curves closes on the 29th. So now all we really have left, we should see Boop closing soon as well. So right now they're just hemorrhaging money because they're not making their weekly, what they need to weekly. And if you don't, I mean, those shows cost, like a show like Boop is going to be probably $1 million a week. And and it's making $500,000. So you just think every week we're losing less money. I mean, we're losing more money. So
yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not, I just hope they don't go back to, you know, Oklahoma. Ugh.
What doing Oklahoma?
Yeah.
They just did that a few years ago.
Yeah.
And,
so boring.
Well, I mean, you know, they are what they are. Some people like them.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to give me the old classics, give me Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, where they do something.
You know? Oh, where they? You mean where they kidnap a bunch of women?
Yes, I know. It's horrible. It really is horrible. But
well, all of those early. I mean, you look at The King and I. You look at at Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. You look at Oklahoma. You look at Carousel. You look at Brigadoon. Yeah. There's, Carousel. There's Oliver. You know. As long as he needs me and doesn't kill me. Okay. Oh, too bad he killed you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, women, I mean, there really were some horrible plots.
Not women mention, got it bad in the old days.
Racist. I mean, just some crazy shit. But some of the music that came out of them was really beautiful. But anyway, all right. Well, we don't have any mutual shows except for RuPaul, and I am not caught up on that. I didn't get to actually catch up. Okay, thank you. I didn't get to catch up on much, and this was Pride Weekend, so I just wanted to say, Pride Weekend in Sacramento. So I just wanted to say again, happy Pride to everybody listening. Thank you for listening. I played WoW, and I have not played WoW as much as I played WoW much recently. But I've just been in the mood and been enjoying it. So, yay, that's pretty good. World of Warcraft. And then Heather came over for this little thing called My Mom's Birthday. And we had Mr. Lurie Dean and my friend Heather. They came over and they had some carrot cake, which I got from Knob Hill Bakery, which is Rayleigh's over this way. And it was really good carrot cake, really, really yummy. And we hung out and had some fun. And then Heather wanted to watch an episode of Blake's 7. And so I think we may have finished the first series, and now we're about ready to go into series 2. And I swear we end up falling asleep during this. This is like, it's like interesting enough that you're kind of curious about if season 2 is going to be better production value. But man, sometimes you're just like, learn how to fucking edit. It's awful. Anyway, but moving on from that, I wanted to watch The Accountant 2. So I watched The Accountant 1, which is 2016, starring Ben Affleck. Actually, I liked it. It's one of those movies that, again, it could have stepped up, girl, a little bit. But once it got going, it was really good. Now, did you watch that one?
Like 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, that was 9 years ago. So, yeah. Do you remember anything about it? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
I don't remember shit.
Okay. So, you know what? That's one of those things that it's actually kind of, it can be forgettable after 10 years. But
9 years,
suck it. It's basically Ben Affleck plays a neurodivergent person who has trouble letting go of stuff, and he becomes like an accountant for like really bad terrorist type people, but he's still got that heart of gold. And when he goes and rescues somebody, he just knows how to, because of his asshole father, knows how to blow them away and beat them up and do all this amazing stuff. And so anyway, it was a fun action movie to just watch while you're eating your popcorn and drinking your slushy. Anyway,
had slushies?
Oh, I really want a slushy. I really, really do. I don't have them, but I want one.
You know, they have them now. I've been tempted to get an icy at the theaters.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I just don't know if I really want like a grapes icy while I have popcorn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I would like one. I love the cherry ones, the cherry and cola and mixing them together. Those were. If you like action movies, I would actually recommend that one. And then The Accountant 2 is on Netflix, or not Netflix, but Amazon right now. And I'm going to watch that hopefully this week and see how.
Isn't The Accountant also on Amazon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It is. And it's free too. So you can watch both of them.
And then you can watch Accountant 2, which is also free on Amazon.
Exactly. And it looks almost cutesy. So I'm hoping they didn't, because now he's got his brother in it. So anyway, I watched Elite Killer because I've been on this kick of Jason Statham movies. And thank you to Nephi, who pointed out that for some reason, the stuff that I was talking about last time was saying Jason Statham, which I don't know, AI must have gotten in my way, but yeah, it's Jason Statham. Anyway, this was his 2011 one, which also starred, oh gosh, the really famous gangster guy, Al Pacino, I think. That's funny because we were talking about him on Matinee Minutia. Anyway, but yeah, no, I think it was Al Pacino was in that one. I'm not sure. Anyway, it was a pile of poo. I mean, it just was not good.
Oh, so he didn't take off his shirt.
No, there may have been like one, but it didn't even show nipple. But yeah, it was just one of those, like, him getting out and then having to go back in to save his friend, and then they kidnap his girl.
Getting out of what?
Like, who care? Getting out of like being a elite killer, because he couldn't kill some kid, and then he got shot, and he's like, "No, I'm out of the." Anyway, it was just like one of those. The movies that he does now that basically are the same fucking plot are really good and fun and action packed and well done. Back then, this was just awful. Anyway, moving on. Doctor Who. So I finished up the last. So this is the last season of the Doctor, and I can never really pronounce his name, so forgive me. But
who? You know, it's the who?
Gay Black Doctor.
It's who?
I get it. Yeah.
That's yeah.
Funny. It's actually Hua, but. No, anyway, the new Gay Black Doctor, he was really fun. It was he did a really good job with it, but people just hated on it. And I'm talking about the haters that hated on it, because he was gay and because he was black and because his companion was from India, or was an India descent. And it was just like, fuck you, people. Fuck you. This is why we can't have new stories. And now they switched it back, and now they brought back, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone that hasn't seen it yet, but they brought back a character from the past. It's just like, I love Doctor Who, but this, they've got to fucking stop trying to please these viewers who are never going to be pleased. It's like the Star Trek people and the Star Wars people, who every time they bring in somebody that's not a straight white male who can, you know, who they just fuck them. Stop paying attention to them. Stop placating them. Anyway, all right. Love Doctor Who. Moving on, I got to see the Death Becomes Her musical. I won't say how, but I did get to see that, and you were right. It was really fun. I got sucked right into it. I wasn't even going to watch it. I was just checking to see that it was what it was, and I ended up watching the entire thing.
Yeah, well, you know, the first, you get the for the first scene, which is the If You Want Perfection song. Mm-hmm. And then that goes straight into Do It for the Gays.
Yeah.
And then that's when we get the other character. Oh, God, what's her name? Not Madeline, but
Helen.
That's when Helen comes in, and the actress, I'm so glad that it was the same actress, from the Broadway show, not an understudy. Mm-hmm. She is so good. And I've never heard of her. Mm-hmm. And now I want to see everything she's done. She's been doing stuff for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And she was so good as Helen. And I love the Helen song, you know, the Madeline song that Helen sings. And it's easy to lose yourself for the 2 hours of the show.
It is. Yeah.
It's like eating a bag of chips and then all, you know, all of a sudden there's nothing left in the bag and you finish the movie.
Yeah. You know,
that's how it, and I like the fact that the show made much more sense than the movie did.
It did. It honestly did, because there were parts of it that of the movie even that I was like, wait a minute, how do we get from point A to point B, and how does that even make sense? Anyway, so yeah, this was good. I highly recommend going and seeing it somehow. And then, so I did finish watching the Halloween Baking Championship. I'm done with all the seasons of that. I'm glad to be done with it. I don't know. I always love Carla, and I like the other lady too. But for some reason, in watching it this time, and now has been Zach. Just was irritating. He just irritated me the whole time. So
I found the other lady more irritating.
Yeah, and see, when I watched it the first time, I agree. I found her irritating, and when I watched them around the first time, I didn't like the stuff that they were doing with John Henson, the host. I found him really irritating, and this time he didn't bother me so much. So I don't know, we're weird.
Did you like the new character in Death Becomes Her, Madeline's dresser?
Oh, yes, he was brilliant.
Yeah, Josh. We've shared texts, so he's just for playbill.com, when the show first opened, when it shows open, they usually have one of the people in the show, not usually the main characters, but some of the supporting characters come in and do it. So I got to really, you got to really see his character, how fun he is. And so then we've talked on Instagram.
Nice.
But yeah, it's such a good character, a smart character to add to the show.
And able to drive the plot and, you know, sum up the scenes. And
sure.
I mean, he was just great.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let's see. The only other thing that I watched this week was I watched The Sting, and this is the 1973. With Paul Newman and Robert Redford, and an absolutely incredible supporting cast. I mean, if you have a movie that has like Eileen Brennan and Ray Walston, and Charles Durning, and so many others that you know by sight, Miles from The Golden Girls. Wow, what a horrible movie. And not even a horrible movie. I don't want to say that, because it wasn't a horrible movie, but it was so boring. I had to finally speed it up to make it watchable. And it won an Academy Award, I think.
It won Best Picture.
Yeah. And I'm like, there were so many elements of it that really were good, and I can see why it was so popular and did so well. But honestly, it needed about half an hour cut out of it, and it needed to kind of tighten things up a little bit. But and that's from my perspective, watching movies now compared to then, obviously. But
and you remember what movie it beat out for Best Picture?
I think so, but remind me.
Yeah. It was The Exorcist.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't thinking of that one. But there were some, we always list like the other, like at least five of the top movies at that point. But yeah, I wasn't thinking of Exorcist, but yeah, I probably would have gone with The Exorcist, honestly. Because The Sting, I mean, for people that are really into that type of movie, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. But for me, it was too long and eh. But yeah. Anyway, thoughts on that?
It was very popular.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Did you see it when it came out?
Of course.
Okay. That's why you liked it more, right?
Well, because I
can see going and seeing a movie at that time, and that was probably something that was very new and very, you know, like,
well, that's because it was a new movie in 1973.
You know what I mean? It was forward thinking, even though it was back from 1936. It was still a forward thinking, you know, movie.
And I think a lot of the was the chemistry between Paul Newman and
Robert
Redford, because, you know, they earlier four years before they had done Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Right.
So there was that. But I mean, it's terrifically written. And I don't know why you thought it was boring. I mean, I haven't seen it probably in 40 years, but maybe 50 years. But I don't know why you thought it was boring, but I guess since I haven't seen it, maybe you're right.
Maybe, but you know, that's another thing that I always keep in consideration, though, is that different strokes for different folks. Something that I might find boring, you might think is really amazing, you know? But yeah, if you ever watch it again, I don't know why you would, but if you ever decide to watch it again, let me know what you think of it watching it now. All right.
Okay.
So there we go. That was my week. You know, again, thank you for everybody who sent mom birthday wishes and stuff like that. I really appreciate that. And we did get the chair and I got it set up. Thankfully we haven't had to use it. I don't, you know, we don't want to use it because that would mean that she fell. But it is charged and ready to go should we need it. So, yay. All right, let's move on to advice. I've been dating my boyfriend for 6 months, and he loves karaoke. The problem? He's terrible at singing, but he thinks he's amazing. Every time we go out, he insists on performing, and our friends privately tell me how awful it is and how I should get him to stop. But to his face, they clap and cheer. It's honestly embarrassing, and I find myself dreading karaoke nights. I don't want to hurt his feelings because he clearly enjoys it so much, but I'm stuck between secondhand embarrassment and wanting to be supportive. What should I do?
Don't go out with your friends to do karaoke.
Okay.
And just, you know, go do karaoke on your own. And if he loves it, let him do it. I mean, let's face it, most people go to karaoke for the bad people, not for the good people.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because, you know, don't spoil his dream. Or right. get him an app that he can do it at home, too.
Right. Yeah, that would be fun, too. I mean, you know, like some people like to play softball, and you just, whether they're good at it or not, you support them in that. Some people want to do karaoke. You support them in that. Some people
want to write books. And
support them in that. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's a thing. That's my thing. You know what? I would just go and say, you know what? He's having fun. Fuck you. Let him do it. Yeah. It's not like you're going to get in trouble or get kicked out or anything. Let him have the fun.
And he does, what, maybe one song? And you can't deal with probably that? Fuck you, people. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Hey, Chubbs. Timothy wants to know, repeat something your mom or dad always said to you growing up. Shut up. Knock it off. I don't want to hear it. I'll give you something to cry about. I'm going to slap you down. That was a good one. My father used to always say, I'm going to slap you down. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, my mom had a paddle up on the wall, but never used it. And I don't remember a lot of, you know, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump? Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd have to think on
my great grandmother had a wooden spoon And my grandmother, she was the one that actually did stuff. I got a lot of threats, but like I wasn't a bad kid, so it's not like I was, beaten or anything like that. But my
Damn
grandmother
it.
actually, she would for no reason, she would spank me just because she was a drunk, crazy woman. But no, I mean, I guess this isn't supposed to be bad. I mean, there's okay, repeat something your mom or dad always said to you growing up. But I don't, and that's the thing, is you can be told I love you 1,000 times, but you said I hate you once, and you remember that I hate you. But I mean,
Yeah, they said goodnight a lot. I remember that.
always said to you, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Good one though. Hey Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, do you think we meet people by chance or it's there a pattern? Is there a pattern? I think both. I think some people just end up, hello. But
Well,
for the most
yeah.
part, I believe that okay, I do believe in reincarnation, people, so if you don't, that's your thing. But I do believe that we travel in packs and that we, have like energies that attract each other and stuff. So I believe there is a pattern in a lot of it. How about you?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, you're going to have the people that you constantly meet lifetime to lifetime, and then you're going to have people that come in, and sometimes they stay and sometimes they don't, that you might not have been with ever in a previous lifetime,
Right,
because
exactly.
I believe in that as well.
Yeah. Hey Chubbs, Timothy wants to know, do you believe people are inherently good, bad, or neutral, and why?
I think it's everybody's neutral until something affects them, and it's usually I think it's more based on the people that you're around. I think that I don't think you're born racist, but you may be born into a racist family, and so, but I think everybody starts off at the same spot. And then it just depends on what happens in your life. If you're wealthy, if you're poor, if you're fat, if you're skinny, if you're athletic, things will just change you naturally. And with the people that you end up, hanging out with, whether it's your friends or your family, or friends at a young age and friends at an older age, there's it's amazing how people can pull you in one direction or another.
Yeah. And I do believe that there is something to genetic makeup that can predisposition you to go one way or another or do certain things that are considered good or bad. But for the most part, yeah, I think a lot of it is, because I mean, you look at being gay, that's just part of who we are, and we were born that way, as Gauda says. That's not something that you just, you're like watching TV and suddenly go, huh, I think I want to do that. But, as far as being good or bad or something, yeah, I agree. We're just neutral, and it ends up, yeah, something gets triggered. Something gets triggered. Hey, we should write that. That should be a musical song. Something gets triggered. Anyway, all right, well, it's time for well, before we get into that, thank you, Timothy. You always ask really thought-provoking questions. Those were good. All right, I remember first Pride events. What do you remember about your first Pride event?
I think it must have been going into San Francisco. I wasn't really happy with it because it was loud. The parade sucked because it was mostly corporate based. Like, who cares if Welch's has a float? you know, that kind of thing. You know, it was a lot of corporate floats. So it was really long and it took forever for it to come through. So I remember going into the area with the booths and stuff like that. And it was just nothing really was exciting. Later on, I found better pride parades and pride events, but mostly it was kind of boring.
What year was this?
Early 80s.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought maybe you went a little bit before that to something, but
I don't think so. Cause I don't,
you know, when it comes to the corporate stuff, it always seems like that didn't kick in until like the later 90s, but that's just my recollection. You know, usually it was always banks that would take the risk because they didn't have anything to lose, you know. But anyway, the first Pride event that I ever went to was the first year that, and it was just a few months after I started volunteering for Mom Guess What newspaper. So this was 1996. And it was the Rainbow Festival, which is Sacramento's second Pride of the year. And I was on, I had never been around that many gay people or been to a pride before or anything like that. And I was kind of stuck at the end of the thing at the MGW booth and handing out newspapers and trying to talk to people about the newspaper. And do you remember Trina, the drag queen who later became transsexual?
No.
Okay. She used to be a square dancer and she was a very large, very tall person. And she would wear these big, huge baby doll, curly wigs like Shirley Temple. And she would wear square dancing outfits with the little shorter skirts that would poof out. And she came over and she was eating a plate of spaghetti and she dripped the spaghetti all over the newspapers. And I was just like mortified at the whole thing. But that is what I remember the most from my first Pride event. Patricia Nell Warren, who wrote Front Runner. She had just published her second, I think her second or third book from that series. I think it was the second one. And she was giving a speech at one of the little places nearby. And she came up, and Linda Berner, who is the publisher of MGW, she introduced us. And of course, I was still so new to everything. I didn't really understand who she was. But she grabbed my hand and she said, "I love your work. I read your columns every time. They're always so funny. And, you know, don't stop." And I was just like, "Thank you, strange lady," who I have no idea who the hell you are. And that's my other kind of first Pride memory. So
I interviewed her that weekend.
Did you?
I did an hour on Being Gay Today. Yeah,
that's so awesome. I bet she was amazing to talk to.
Yeah, it was a good interview.
Cool. Now, anyway, yeah, but that's very cool. That's very cool. So we both got her that weekend.
Well, if it was that weekend, yeah,
and we didn't even know each other yet. Mm-hmm. Not for another year and a quarter. All right. Let's see. It's time for What's in Your Lunchbox. Mr. Moose wrote in and he said, "Got an Italian beef sandwich for lunch. Had pickled veggies on it." That looks pretty neat.
And it's got a dip. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that au jus. But oh, those potatoes look really good to me. I've been on kind of a baked and fried potato thing lately. All right. And then we have Tom with some photos.
This is just one of our, this is our bone. I think this was bone in this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We went, Fire Wings here in town has a, you go on Wednesdays and it's like pretty cheap. So, we always try to get over there and, this was, that particular Wednesday and, I got the Parmesan, garlic Parmesan, and he gets the Korean kick.
Now, is the Korean kick hot? It looks like it.
It's warm, but I wouldn't say it's, well, it might be hot for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More tangy, more Asian.
I like a good tang. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
And then those fries look beautiful.
Yeah. They have great fries. And it's weird. It's the only ones I dip in ranch. I usually, I'm a fry on its own person, but, their ranches, the ranch and the fries together, fantastic.
Nice. And then we have one from Mr. Scott who says, hey guys, Mark here. Oh, well, Mark here. Let's see. So it's Mark. So at work this weekend, we had an employee appreciation barbecue. I had a quarter pound hot dog, delicious. Barbecue chicken with barbecue baked beans and potato salad, chocolate chip cookie, Pepsi, and chips. It was so delicious. Only problem was I had to go back to work for 3 hours after that. Oh,
yeah, that always sucks. Yeah, that all looks good.
That chicken looks amazing. And that's what I want.
And I don't have anything on my hot dogs, so that's the only thing that's different. Otherwise, this is perfect.
You don't have mayo or anything on your hot dog?
No, I only have plain hot dogs.
Okay. I like mayo and ketchup on mine. Yeah. But, that chicken looks so good. Okay, moving on from that. I'm going to have to boil some chicken and put something on it. All right, hey. If you want to send us what's in your lunchbox or anything for the I Remember, the Hey Chubs, advice question, anything that we commented on, send it to us at, Tom will tell you in a minute. And then also see the photos from what's in your lunchbox at facebook.com/chubsgonewild. Find Tom's other podcast at swannerandjudd.com. Find my other projects at justkisstheguy.com. Find all of our links at allmylinks.com/chubsgonewild. And give us an email at
chubsgonewild@gmail.com. And that's where you can send anything to us. If you want to participate in the show, we love it. Give it a try. We won't humiliate you if you send us dumb questions.
Nope.
And if you are watching us on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe.
Yes, Queen. And we love it when you do watch our videos. Even though it's just talking heads, it's our talking heads. All right. Thank you so much. And we will catch you in a week. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A network of inclusion.
Univazpods.net.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
This has been a, for fuck's sake, production.